I know many of you, and just grateful to be here this morning. If you don't know me, my wife and family, we moved here to Greenville in June of 2021 from Peoria, Illinois, where I'd spent most of the last 25 years in ministry. Before that, I spent 7 years in the Navy. Beth, my lovely wife's here with me this morning, along with our youngest daughter, Alex. Alex will be heading back to college next weekend, and we'll be empty nesters once again. Our older children and grandbaby are in Edwardsville and Peoria and now St. Charles, and so we are grateful for that. But we are grateful to be here this morning. And, you know, enough about them. If you don't know me, I am a child of the 70s. And have we lost our pictures there? Oh, there we go. I'm a child of the 70s. And apparently I used to know how to rock and roll. And that's my dad with his rockin' 70s pants on there. In the 70s, you didn't have a fear of being loud and proud, of just breaking some of the rules, right? And how many of you were, I know not every, how many of you were around in the 70s? Most of us. I don't have very many memories of the 70s. Some of you have groovy memories of the 70s. Some of you remember when Greenville had a Pizza Hut in the 70s. I hear that's the place to be. You remember Hogue not as a tower, but as a building. And we remember our nation in the 70s. It was a tumultuous decade for our nation and for the world. It was the end of the Vietnam War. The 70s brought the Watergate scandal, the Munich Olympics massacre, the death of Elvis in 1977. The 70s brought us Star Wars, the dark side and the force. And some of my, you know, just maybe it's the, I don't know, maybe it's the rising gas prices we've experienced in the last few months, but my most vivid memories of the 70s are waiting in line just to get gas. Kids, you'll just appreciate this. In 1973, gas prices went from 39 cents to 53 cents in less than a year. Just catastrophic inflation there. I couldn't believe it. But on the lighter side, the 70s gave us Diana Ross belting out, "There ain't no mountain high enough to keep me away from you." Three Dog Night singing, "Joy to the World." Not the Christmas version. Captain and Tennille swearing, "Love will keep us together." Secular tunes with a sacred message. I love some of the other 70s songwriters, the psalm writers of the Psalms. Psalm 71, "My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, for I am your redeemed." Oh, may his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun, so that all the nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Psalm 72, the 74th Psalm, "God is my king from long ago. He brings salvation to the earth." And Psalm 79, "We, your people, the sheep of your pasture, we will praise your name forever. From generation to generation, we will declare your praise." The 70s are filled with joy and praise, but there was also a lot of lament. One of my favorite songs from the 70s is Simon and Garfunkel's ballad, "Bridge Over Troubled Water." That's kind of our theme or our title for the message today. "When you are weary and feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all." It was an opening line that sought to bring comfort to the masses, but it doesn't always reflect how we feel, does it? Sometimes it doesn't feel like it's well with my soul. All around me is not happy and blessed. Sometimes we cry out to God and we don't hear back. And I should take a moment, just a moment of pause here. If you've never been in that place, if you've never felt yourself in the troubled waters, if you've never been deeply troubled to the point of groaning by what you see on the news or what you're going through in life, if you don't think troubled waters are ever going to come your way, you have permission to leave early. You can be the first in line at Los Amigos. But for the rest of us, which probably includes all of us, sometimes we are in the deep waters. And sometimes instead of finding sure footing in a solid bridge, it can feel like we are sinking. And Psalm 77 meets us in one of those moments. I thought we were going to read Psalm 77. I forgot that was in the plan today. Let me just read Psalm 77 for us together. If you got your Bibles, you can open them up. I may skip a few verses. Psalm 77. a psalm of Asaph, to the choir master according to Jeduthun. We'll kind of get into that little title. As you're opening, I'll just say that now. We don't know who Asaph, we know Asaph, he's the author of 10 of the 150 psalms. We don't know who Jeduthun is. Is he the recipient of this psalm? Is he, maybe, some think that Asaph is writing the lyrics, and much like Spafford sending the lyrics to his friend for a tune, Jeduthun is going to put these to a tune so that everybody can sing the song together. We don't know who the choir master is. Some say that that's God, that Asaph is writing this song for God, the ultimate choir master. And Jeduthun's going to put it to a song that we could all sing 2,000 years later. Asaph writes, I cry aloud to God that he may hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. I think of God and I moan. I meditate, but my spirit faints. Selah. Thou dost hold my eyelids from closing. I'm so troubled I cannot speak. When I consider the days of old, I remember the years long ago. I commune with my heart in the night. I meditate and I search my spirit. And I ask, will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Selah. Oh, but I say it's my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate on all your works and muse on your mighty deeds, O God. That way, O God, your way is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders, who have manifested thy might among the peoples. Thou didst with thy arm redeem thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. The deep trembled, the clouds poured out water, the skies gave forth thunder, the arrows flashed on every side. The crash of thy thunder was a whirlwind, and the lightnings lit up the world. And the earth trembled and shook. Thy way was through the sea, thy path through the great waters, yet thy footprints were unseen. Thou didst lead thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. That's the message of Psalm 77. It is a raw, honest cry of a believer in deep distress, questioning, where is God? So today we sit with the song and we sit with the psalm to find the bridge between our emotions and our faith, between pain, which is just real in all of our lives, and the truth of God's presence. We're asking the questions, where is God when our heart is troubled? And what does it mean to invite God to be the bridge over our troubled waters? Timothy and Julie Tennant note that Brother Asaph, this author of 12 of the 150 psalms, he's never afraid to ask the difficult questions. He asks the questions to a good God that inevitably surface in the difficult journey of life. As St. John of the Cross would have put it, he asks the questions that arise in the dark nights of the soul. Questions like, God, have you forgotten about me? Has your loving kindness forgotten to be loving and kind? Have your promises come to an end? Are you no longer gracious? When faced with these kinds of questions and the sleeplessness and the agony that inevitably follow, Asaph brings us the choice. Are we going to lose faith and turn away from God, or are we going to reaffirm our faith by remembering and trusting who God is, despite what we can see and feel in the moment? It's a journey. The psalmist takes us on a journey of choice. Remembering God, God's mighty acts, because God's mighty acts can renew our faith and bring the assurance that he is with us even when we don't see it. There's no happy ending in Psalm 77. His apparent circumstances don't seem to resolve themselves. The ship doesn't sail by the place of disaster to a miraculous resurrection, but the change is an inward change of attitude, and it's a true change that God seeks in each and every one of us this morning. So let's dive into the troubled waters and experience the good word of the Lord. The first thing, part one there from Asaph. When you are weary, when you're feeling down, Asaph says, name the distress. Verse one, I cry aloud to God who will hear me. That's just raw honesty. He's not singing a happy tune. He's crying out loud. It says in verse 2, in my day of trouble, I'm seeking the Lord, and my soul refuses to be comforted. Verses 3 and 4, I remembered you, God. I groaned. I meditated. My spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing, and I was too troubled to even speak. Have you been there? Verse 4 is just a poetic way of saying, my stress is keeping me up at night. I can't feel the Lord's presence. I'm so troubled, feeling down. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know how to talk to God right now. And I'm guessing some of us have had those dark nights of the soul where we are so exhausted we can't sleep, but we're so anxious we can't function. Simon and Garfunkel capture this message. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard. Psalm 77 invites us to be honest with God. God invites us to be honest with himself. Faith isn't about faking happiness. St. John of the Cross, when considering those dark nights of the souls, he doesn't speak of doubt as a lack of not having faith. No, he says dark nights of the soul help us separate our feelings from our faith. It's the story of Job from the Old Testament. When everything is down, when all has been lost, can I still have faith in a good God? When all of the circumstances of life have you feeling down and out, can you have faith to keep pressing forward with the Lord? Can you cry out to God even when you can't feel him near? Lest you feel or think that a troubled spirit is a sign of weak faith, here's some words from a pretty good role model. John, the beloved disciple, writes in John chapter 13. The context is the Last Supper, and he writes five simple words. Jesus was troubled in spirit. Friends, it's okay, loved ones. It's okay to name your distress before God. God can handle it. God invites us to lay our stress and distress before his feet. And then there in verse 4, we get that little word in the margins, if you've got your Bible still open, that word Selah. It's a Hebrew word, and we don't even know what it means, so we don't even try to translate it. We just leave it Selah there in your Bible. But it's kind of it's a break. It's the piano solo as the pastor prays. It's the guitar riff that bridges one verse to the next, and it's just an opportunity. The psalmist is just saying, pause. Think about that for a moment. Reflect, and I'd ask him, is there anything, where's the place in your life right now where you're feeling weary? What's that reality that has you distressed? Can you just name it? Can you offer it to the Lord even right now? Because then the psalmist kind of transitions. He says, when you're feeling down, wrestle with God. Verses 5 through 9, they're all questions. Will the Lord spurn forever? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Has the Lord forgotten to be gracious? It's not the Sunday school flannel graph picture of faith, is it? Asaph's remembering God, and it hurts. He's remembering better days. He's remembering easier times. He's remembering when everything was happy and blessed, and that doesn't comfort him. That memory doesn't comfort him. It torments him. What happened? He's looking at the past, and he's asking some hard questions. Where is the God that I used to know? Where's the one who carried me? Will the Lord reject forever? Is his unfailing love no longer loving? Has the God of mercy somehow forgotten how to be merciful? Has the God of promised faithfulness decided to no longer be faithful? And for Asaph, it's not a theoretical doubt. It's personal. It's painful questions of what he's experiencing in life. And you've been there, and I've been there. We've all been there. The world is there right now. And when the heavens are silent and the prayers feel unanswered, when all you hear is your own echo, Psalm 77 invites us to be honest and wrestle with God. God invites Christians, especially Christians, to ask these questions of him when God doesn't feel near. Because God doesn't scold Asa for asking him. He invites the sacred wrestling. Much like in A Bridge Over Troubled Water, the authors write, I'm on your side when times get rough, when friends just can't be found. The psalmist is crying out. He's not even sure that God can be found. But the psalmist, God is inviting him in to wrestle, trusting that in the midst of the wrestling, in the midst of the troubled waters, God, he will find the Lord. When our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling and the nights are long and the bridge feels burned, Asaph keeps asking, he keeps pleading, he keeps remembering, and so should we. And then there's another Selah, another pause, another opportunity just to try to catch your breath in the midst of the struggle. Before Asaph helps us remember the bridge over the troubled water. Asaph chooses to remember. Verse 10, we see the great turning point. Asaph writes, then I thought, oh, to this I will appeal. I'm not going to just keep asking, is God forsaken me? Is God forgotten me? Is God no longer must? No, now I will ask. This I will remember. This I will appeal to. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. It's a pivot. Verses 1 through 9, it's all about me. It's all about I. I'm the center of the story. My suffering is the focal point. But in verses 10 through 20, it's all about God. He's laid out his lament. He's wrestled with the Lord. He's struggling out loud. But then he remembers what God has done, even when he can't feel God in the right now. And in choosing to remember, he remembers God's past faithfulness. I will remember the deeds of the Lord, your miracles of long ago, he writes. When faith seems to falter, memory can build the bridge. When your faith begins to falter, memory can build the bridge. When the present feels like a wasteland, we can anchor ourselves to God's past faithfulness. And we can remember the times when he carried us across impossible waters. And Asaph, in the midst of this, he doesn't experience immediate relief. The problems don't all go away, but there's a change in focus. And that's a good word for me this morning, and I hope for you, that instead of staring at his pain, he gets to recall God's mighty works. Instead of focusing on God's apparent absence in the moment, he remembers God's faithfulness to Israel. Instead of dwelling on the current chapter of his story, he remembers God's care for God's beloved children throughout history. And he remembers the time when God did part the waters. When we're in our own troubled waters, remembering God's past faithfulness keeps us afloat. That's the song's promise as well. I will ease your mind like a bridge over troubled water. I will lay me down. And friends, that's what Jesus does. That's why we're here. Because Jesus lays himself down. He's not just with us in the trouble, but he's for us in the trouble. Jesus becomes the bridge. He doesn't always take away the water, but he makes a way through it. Which brings us to the fourth point there. Walking through the waters assures us that God is with us in the storm. This is how the psalm ends. Verse 16, when the waters saw you, O God, they were afraid. And then verse 19, your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. It's a direct reference to the story of Exodus and the parting of the Red Sea. Admittedly, it's a creative telling of the story, but it's certainly a direct reference. Israel had the world's most powerful army on one side and an impossible sea on the other. And the only two options seemed to be slavery or death. There was no other way out. But they took one step in God's direction, a step of faith, and God made a way. God's people didn't walk around the chaos. God made a way through the chaos, and God is in the business of making a way through the chaos still today. Israel's past is the story of a bridge through troubled waters. And that's why verse 20 is so good. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. God doesn't always part the seas the moment we ask. Certainly doesn't make the storm go away, but he leads gently, faithfully, like a shepherd, even when his footprints, as the psalmist says, are unseen. And like the refrain of the song, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. Again, that's what Jesus does. He doesn't just build a bridge, he becomes the bridge. We return to John's gospel, John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's the bridge, the guide. He's the one who stays by our side even if everyone else disappears. And on the cross, he laid himself down to connect our suffering with God's mercy. That's the great bridge. Our suffering, our brokenness, our dark nights of the soul, and God's abundant mercy. The bridge is Jesus' suffering and death and then resurrection from the cross. The cross, my friends, is the ultimate bridge over troubled waters. In conclusion, as we kind of bring the ship to harbor, if you're in a season of troubled waters today, Psalm 77 gives you permission to cry out. Maybe even at the end of the service today, you're just going to want to come forward and just spend some time with the Lord, being honest, wrestling, crying out, asking God to reveal himself this morning. Psalm 77 doesn't end with a neatly tied bow. There's no sudden reversal. There's no apparent resolution to the problem. There's just remembrance and trust and the assurance that God is there. If you're in a dark night of the soul, I hope that God's Spirit's been speaking to you, rocking your soul for good through this wonderful psalm. Asaph found his path forward. It's the same path God invites each of us to walk. We first name the pain. We wrestle honestly with God because God can handle it. Then we remember God's faithfulness, letting the past, God's goodness in the past, fuel our faith into the future, and then we trust God to lead us through. Because even when we can't see him, he will lead us through the troubled waters. Or a more simple plan, just cry out to God, remember God, and trust God. And never forget that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of Psalm 77. He laid himself down, not just beside us, but instead of us. So no matter how deep and troubled the waters may feel, we're never alone. Simon and Garfunkel wrote, I'm sailing right behind. Jesus says, I'm sailing right along. And we'll give our final word today, not to Simon and Garfunkel, but to our creator God, who said in Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And from Jesus, God himself, who said something similar in Matthew 28, surely I am with you always, always, even to the end of the age. When you're weary, when you're feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, Jesus laid him down. Jesus is your bridge. He doesn't always calm the waters, but he will carry you through them. So we pray. We pray, Lord, as a people who, you know, as we turn on the news, we see the reality of the literal floods, northern Indiana, northern Illinois, around the creation, Lord. We see stories of earthquakes and devastation, Lord. But right here in this room, we know the storms and the floodwaters of grief, and sorrow, despair, and uncertainty. Lord, it's part of our story. It's part of our lives. It's so easy to come to church and put on the happy face and say, everything's happy and blessed, all to my Savior, and that's where I get all the rest. But Lord, you invite us when things are hard. When the conditions of life would say anything but it is well with my soul, you invite us to this place to experience the love of Jesus, the one who laid down everything, the one who promises to always be by our side, the one who offers resurrection life and, even in the midst of storms and sorrow, life to the full. Lord, in his day, the psalmist had the great memory of the stories of Passover and Exodus to look back on. He remembered how you delivered people from slavery and helped them pass through the waters, how you walked before them with unseen footsteps, Lord. Oh, how much more do we as Christians, even in the darkest of times, have an even better story? The story of Jesus who conquered death itself, who trampled death, who brings us out of darkness into new life. Lord, that's the journey of Psalm 77. It's the gift you want us to receive today. The assurance that you have not forgotten us, that your loving kindness never ceases, that your footprints are in the troubled seas with us even when we cannot see them. So meet with us, wrestle with us, God, and then deliver us, that we might share the good news of your deliverance throughout Bond County and all the world. And we pray this for your glory, for our good and others' gain, in the powerful name of Jesus. And all your children said, Amen. Amen.